Hey everybody, welcome back to Fitness Candor Podcast. A long ago guest, Peter Collins, joins us today. He was from episode 100, so kind of my milestone episode. He is co-owner of HitWorks in Sunderland, England, and we've kept in contact for the past 2 years. It's been November 2017 is when he first joined the show, and we've kept in contact ever since, checking each other's workouts, kind of sharing music and things like that, stuff that we're listening to, all sorts of fun stuff, bitching about certain topics. He wanted to jump back on the show, talk a little shop today, and I was more than happy to have him. So, Peter, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me back. So 2 years. Can you believe it's 2 years?
No, I can't believe it's 2 years. And I know I talk about this a lot because now that I'm a parent, I get to say these kind of things. But our parents used to tell us, at least here in America, they're like, wait till you have kids. Time flies when you have kids. You think it's fast now. And it doesn't even make any sense.
Nope. It certainly does. The cliche is true. It flies.
Yeah, absolutely. It really does. But all good things. You and I just got done doing a few minutes of catch up. So I thought I'd give us, jump right into it. But you were just talking to me about your business model, because it's just been just over 2 years since you, I believe, and your brother opened HitWorks, correct?
Yes. Since HitWorks got formalized, yeah.
Yeah. So, in the States, there's kind of this trend of people who open businesses, entrepreneurs who open businesses, have about, when they hit around the 3 year mark, that's about the industry standard of success. If an entrepreneur can make it to 3 years, then it's kind of like you've hit a really good spot in your business, where things, you're probably starting to make a little bit of income, make a return. You've kind of like figured out your processes. Is it kind of the same where you are, or have you found it to be a little bit different?
No, I would agree with that. I would concur with that. It's been fast in certain areas. It's been more efficient in certain areas, and then in others, yes, absolutely, it's just about keep working and plowing away and doing your best, digging in deep as best you can.
Yeah, so let's talk, tell me a little bit more about when you first started, maybe some expectations you had, or your brother, maybe some expectations that you guys had going into it, that now you can look back 2 years later where you've had to like throw some things out the door and then maybe grow some others. Like, you were just telling me about, how you've kind of changed towards the group exercise kind of model. Like, what kind of changed that? What other changes did you make?
Okay. So I think it was a little different. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We had a client base prior to forming HitWorks as a limited mm-hmm. company. We were training people prior to that, and had been doing that for quite a number of years. Okay. So we were lucky that the upside of that was we could transfer, or thankfully those people wanted to transfer over to the new business when that was created. The downside of that, of course, is it's then suddenly a business, and you have bills to pay. And you have insurance to pay, and you have equipment to buy, and you have running costs, which suddenly appear that you didn't have before. So it presents its own set of problems, shall we say. So we had to make a business case for it, and despite wanting the ideal of continuing to do one-on-one training, we had to create an economic environment whereby we could do that. And one of the things that we had to be flexible on was the number of people that we could train, and how we would train them, and whether we want to do small group training, and getting away from, and let's be honest, but we've talked about this before, but what we were involved with was high intensity strength training.
Right.
That can be quite a impenetrable, dogmatic group of individuals.
Right. Yeah, no kidding.
If we were to be honest. So, to break away from the one on one model, it's almost sacrilege, isn't it?
That's very true, yeah.
But we thought we could do it, and we limited the size of groups. There was no more than three people would be trained at any given time. And then just over the space of probably, we did a good 12 months solid graft with that. And then over the last 12 months or so, it's slowly started to transition, whereby everyone has adapted to price changes and the climate in which they train. And they've slowly started to acclimatize to individual appointments.
Right.
And it's just been organic, really. It's not something that we forced or pushed. It's just been, we're trying to make the whole process as organic as possible. Now, I think we touched on this the last time. The fortunate situation that we're in is, whilst this is certainly becoming a full-time endeavor, yeah, we do have careers away from this. So everything that we do with the business, it's not necessary for our livelihood. Every penny that we generate, it gets reinvested in the business. So we are fortunate in that respect. We're not relying on this to put food on the table or to pay bills or so on and so forth.
That's a really good point. That's interesting that people are starting to kind of, did you say people are transitioning from that small group? They're kind of requesting more individualized attention now?
They are, yes. I mean, they accept that there are limitations with time, and the more people that you have within that per unit of time, there's only so much you can do with them. We provided, because of the obsession or fixation that we have with specific equipment lines, there's things that we can do very, very efficiently, but it still presents limitations. What one person might do is inform in terms of a vertical push or a horizontal pull might necessarily biomechanically be the right thing for another individual who's had some injuries in that over that particular joint. So from that perspective, with the personalized prescription is what was lacking. We provided a very good and safe template of exercises. But there are still limitations that come with that generic template, and some customization is required. And when you delve into that, that's where it causes problems and it can break down a little bit. So you try and be as flexible as you can, but when all said and done, you are selling a product or a service, and that template ideally does need to be customized. And I think each individual that we had was they recognize that. And they recognize why. What you need to understand for us is, look, I don't know what it's like where you are, but locally there are some dreadful programs going on, and I make no bones about saying that. The boot camp thing thrives. It's cheap, but it's sold to the masses, and there's no accountability there. There's no accountability to the individual. There's no accountability to the injuries that they are incurring or creating or investing in terms of the future as a consequence of the training that they're doing now. And we detest that. We absolutely detest that. So, but nonetheless, it is cheap, and the masses are attracted to that, whether we like it or not. So we've always tried to be as steadfast as we can with our message about what we do and why we do it. And what we don't like, we don't preach, but we are steadfast in what we try and promote.
Yeah, and I think there is kind of a very similar. I just wrote down a couple of things. You said that the boot camp model, number one, is cheap. they have like the drop in, or you can buy a package at a discount, things like that. And they sell it as the biggest thing. I'll say my piece after this, but they sell it as a fun experience. And not that I think like every workout that a person goes into needs to be this grueling, dreadful thing. Do I look forward to every single one of my workouts? No. I mean, my body My brain almost talked me out of it today again, but you do it, you go through it, it's done. I understand the group format. I understand there being the, I think a good thing about it, like the, not the group format, the boot camp format. They try to cultivate, you know, like a family or they try to cultivate accountability because there are other people there. But I don't think if Susie Q doesn't show up, I don't think Billy Joe really gives a crap at all. I don't think they care. Now, whereas, you know, and if the coach is there, if he's a good coach, then maybe he'll reach out. But most of the time, you know, if somebody gives them a $200 check for the entire month and somebody doesn't show up in a group, it doesn't matter because I'm going to charge that person because I got 20 other people, you know, doing ball throws and whatever else they have going on. But if it's individualized, if there's structure in mind, if you have an appointment with a coach like yourself or myself, and this has been well thought out, well designed, if you don't show up, we do care. You know, it's right there in front of us.
Yeah.
Yes, there is some a financial exchange. I mean, it is a service, it is a business, but it's if you're comparing the two side by side, the people that are out there doing the group fitness or the boot camp style methods are a different type of people than the people doing the individualized coaching. You know, the individualized coaching, those people I think gravitate towards it because they appreciate the thoughtfulness that goes into it and the accountability process and the relationship that you build.
I don't know what you find, but we tend to, there are certain boot camp mentality groups who we have in the past tried to explain at length, I might add, but explain nonetheless why it mightn't be the best thing to do. We get the psychological impact that training with others might have. I do think that's a positive. Brian and I have discussed that at length, and we've disputed that with other people in our personal training camp, shall we say, and we think there is a bit of snob value whereby people in our camp can be a bit too excessive with, I think. So I do think there are some benefits to very small group related activities. It can bring out the best in people. But physiologically, is it the best thing? Arguably not. Nonetheless, I think you can make a small. There can be a small argument for having small group training made available. That being said, I think you need to. You just need to be open with people. And what we find is the people who do the boot camp stuff, getting back to your original point, is that they tend to get injured. And that's when it doesn't matter how much you put the hard sell on. It's once they are injured that they will come to you. If they are still interested, if they haven't been scared off training, if they haven't been injured too badly, where they need, a surgical input of some sort, on the proviso that hasn't happened, then, or even if it has in the post surgery, we tend to find that's when we get them clients, and they tend to recognize the value more and tend not to go back to that boot camp based scenario.
Yeah.
And that's happening certainly more and more.
So let me ask then, like, how many of those type of people do you guys encounter? Like the ones who, because, you know, especially if you go into a certain situation, if a person already has an existing injury, let's just say shoulder, for instance, because a lot of people are walking around with, you know, some type of shoulder, maybe a low back or knee or something. They go to a boot camp, even if they tell that the trainer or the person there, they say, hey, I'm dealing with this injury. Okay, you know, we'll try to monitor it. How many of those people, have you seen people leave your, leave HitWorks, go to a boot camp and then come right back and then they're like, oh, okay, I did make the mistake. Like what amount of people have you seen do that?
We've never lost anyone to go to another
Oh, well, good
the,
for you.
They may well have. That would be probably quite arrogant, I think. We probably have lost a small. We're very lucky in so much as when we have someone train with us, they do become hooked. They get it. We go to great lengths to explain it. We go to great lengths. Again, so, it's pretty much like the practical elements that we discussed over 2 years ago. And you know, what we briefly discussed prior to coming on air, now, once you're a parent and you're running a household and, you are trying to maintain some professional life and put money on the table to buy food and have holidays and to provide for your kids, the last thing that you're thinking of at that point is whether you should be training 3, 4, 5, 6 days a week.
But what is
sadly sold in our industry is you need to come to see me 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days a week to be successful. If you want to get stronger, if you want to add muscle, if you want to be fitter, and all of that diatribe, it's the same thing, isn't it? Volume, they try and sell volume as a way of generating an income for themselves. And it's something like, as we've discussed before, is completely counterintuitive as to what you should be doing in terms of productive training. So once we discuss training and we show them around the lines of equipment that we have, we explain them, we're in a position now where we can showcase more evidently than ever before why the positive results that we can achieve within 30 to 60 minutes a week. I think once you're at that point, you really are onto a winner with people, because you're getting these people, you're subverting these people away from this high volume approach and getting much greater results with far, far less. And again, when you're dealing with people with busy lifestyles,
right? Yeah.
Let's be honest, training isn't the be all and end all. It's something that should enhance your life, but it shouldn't detract from your life. And
right.
And there's all sorts of people in all sorts of walks of life who lose sight of that, I think, sadly. So as soon as we can get them on side and we get them to understand, we've just recently took a new couple on, who are two of the most motivated husband and wife couple I've ever come across. Very ambitious, work very, very hard in their professional life, have children, have a household to maintain, et cetera, et cetera. And they've just recently come from the boot camp mentality. They were getting up at 6 a.m. They've got a busy company to run, and they were flogging themselves to bits. And it's kind of that they've come away from the boot camp scenario to training with us for a grand total of 60 minutes a week, and they're like, "What the hell is going on? How are we making these changes?" But I didn't have to sell it too much. They've literally accepted it, and they work brutally, brutally hard already. Their work ethic is amazing, and they're sold. They get it. Once you've got the mentality, and once you understand what you're doing and you get it, why it's going to work and why it doesn't need to be the alternative of training more, and that more is not better, right. you win them over and you tend not to lose them, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we're in kind of this, going back to the whole boot camp scenario, it's one of those things where, an earlier point you made, the more you buy, the cheaper it is. And so it's sold as but then you're that person selling that stuff. They're not talking about why it's going to be beneficial. It's just about the bottom line. They think that what they're doing needs to be discounted, and that's a standard across the board. I think, I've had people come to me who will say, like, "Hey, what if I buy 6 months up front? Can I get a discount?" I'm like, I just tell them, like, "No, I'm sorry. You're more than welcome to pay 6 months up front if that's what makes you feel better. I'm going to be doing the exact same amount of work, the exact quality of coaching for you as I'm doing for the person coming in before and right after you."
Absolutely.
You know, like my level's not going to change. And as long as that person is dialed in on the outside, and again, to your point, I mean, you know, I think as coaches and trainers, we get inside of our own heads because we are at the gym 8, 9, 10 hours a day, you know, 10, 12, 16, sometimes 16 appointments a day. And we're looking at people coming in and we think to ourselves, like, because it is a big part of our lives, why isn't it a big part of your life? Even if we're not training ourselves, we're training somebody else. We're trying to improve their life. When we know, like, as soon as they walk out the door, it's on to the next thing, on to the business meeting, on to pick up the grandkids, on to go to the grocery store. You know, so we've got this, like, almost sometimes like an inflated sense of what is going on with, like, inside of training. I'm starting to go down a path. I'm trying not to get too far off from the weeds. My original point was just that if people have things dialed in, then hopefully on the outside, if they're taking care of themselves like 30% of the time that we hope they are, you know, getting some good sleep, staying hydrated, eating halfway decent most of the time, then they're going to see those results that the people in selling the big boot camps, it doesn't matter. Let's just churn them in, churn them out kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And exactly. And that, and it's, and again, you know, we're talking about the cheaper, looser end of the market, but to the other extreme now, we've talked about this software, haven't we? But we seem to be in a development camps that are very, very polarized now. And you've got that at one end. And then at the other end, you're, especially with the advent of social media, you've got the other end where people are extreme with dietary approaches and they're trying to be drill instructors and they're dictating to people how they should eat and what they shouldn't eat and how they should sleep, how many hours of sleep they should have, how much water they should have, how much meat they need to ingest, and so on and so forth. It's like, hang on, you know, take a break, you know, stand back a little. Understand your role in all of this. So I think we do. We as an industry, we need to be aware of what we're doing. We need to be aware of how we're treating people, that we're not helping exacerbate problems. And I think there's too many situations now where we do that. There's that many extreme views and everyone wants to be, I'm saying with inverted commas, evidence-based. Everyone now, you know, thinks they are dietitians, and people are not staying in their own lane. There's lots and lots of many frustrating things now. So, you know, I just think you should provide sensible advice, get people to train hard, use good quality equipment, and we shouldn't be screwing their bodies over. We should be get them to brutally train hard, minimize rest, but get them in, get them out, give them a bit of support, let them get on with their lives.
When they need it too. Did you listen to my last podcast with Logan Herlihy? He actually, it's going to be a bit confusing for people because this is December right now. Your podcast is going to be released in February. Yes. Logan's first podcast was a couple months ago already. Anyway, in our most recent one, we had this conversation about how when people come in and they have these really big goals, you know, it's for the most part, if someone comes in and they're going to you, however they found you, they come to you and they just want to, they start at ground zero. I just want to get moving. Yep. I want to feel better. I want to feel great. And let's say you're trained that person for a year and you just get them and they come consistently, not every single time. They're not going to be 100% compliance. I get that. But let's say they're coming to 80% of their appointments, which is a high total, I think.
And we all just on that, sorry to interrupt that, just on that point alone, we are absolutely in agreement. One of the first chats that we have when they come to our clinic is we try to explain them. If you hit the 80%, if you look back on your training year and that you say you've hit 80% of your scheduled workouts, of which really are only 1 to 2 workouts a week, then you have done pretty much anything and everything that you could do. So just on that point alone, absolutely, we're in agreement.
Yeah, so if you get somebody to do that, especially for a year. A year is a long time. That's great, because I want to trade people into their, you know, as long as they'll let me. I'm going to let them go after a year because they should be able to do it on their own. I don't think that. But if along the way they start to sprinkle in questions about alcohol consumption, sleep, what should I be eating, stress levels, all these different things, it's not, I don't think it's my position to, as soon as they walk in the door, to say, okay, you're strength training, good, we'll do this for a month, then we have to get your alcohol in check, and then we have to tighten up your nutrition. I mean, and that's, again, to your point, like there's these giant extremes, you know, where if you're a trainer and you don't offer every single outlet to your clients to be successful, for most people, getting out of bed and going to the gym is such a huge win for them. And if they're strength training sensibly for 30 minutes, a couple times a week, man, that's, I mean, we know the benefits. We could put up a ton of research if you want to go down that road, but just common sense alone will tell you that's a huge win for most people. And then when they start to see the benefits of that, they start to feel better. Those other things will trickle in because they'll want to get the most out of it. They'll want to keep going. So
absolutely.
I feel like we make it so much harder on ourselves when we try to put all this pressure on us. Like, I need to be a coach. I need to be a dietitian. I need to be a sleep expert. I need to be, there's all these things we have to be experts on. And I don't think it's necessarily true.
No, I mean, the line that I've adopted from some American friends is just stay in your own lane. I really do like that. And unless you can tell me you are, I don't know what it's like in the US, but you're in the UK, in order to really, you need to class yourself as a nutritionist or a dietitian, you have to be state registered. And you know, you have to be educated in that field to postgraduate level. You have to have done postgraduate work. You have to have worked in a dietetic ward, I believe. And you know, you've done a lot of work with a lot of people in that area. And there's just, for me, there are too many certified trainers who are not qualified or educated well enough in that area, in that specific area. And they're not qualified to deal with the not just the scientific, but the psychological impact of the information that you're trying to pass on to that person. They are simply not good enough to do it. They may well get results, and they may well be getting results in spite of, and they may well have done something that's worked for them, but the bottom line is they are not suitably qualified and they should not be given advice. So that's our personal opinion. We feel we can sleep at night by giving that advice. And don't get me wrong, we have helped quite a growing number of individuals now with you know, changing their body composition and getting to grips with their nutrition and getting to understand the power of the calorie and understanding what calories are and getting them to understand how to adhere to certain caloric budgets, et cetera, et cetera. But outside of that, that's not an area that we push, and we don't believe others should either. And we find it very frustrating with, you know, these dietary trends that occur, and these so-called, we're probably getting off track here, but these continued dietary trends that people try and follow or get pushed. And again, social media has so much to answer for. It can be a positive thing, but it can, by God, be a negative thing too. You know, and the latest one, which we've discussed, you know, keto doesn't seem to die, and carnivore diets, and oh dear me, the way people go on about meat only diets, it frustrates the hell out of me. But nonetheless, you know, we feel we can sleep at night. Stay in your lane. That would be my advice with that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's not that I'm saying that I don't think that we should have some knowledge of it, because I mean, we're dealing with people, but what I'm not going to sit down with somebody, especially if somebody seriously says to me, hey, Eric, I need some like health coaching on and what I'm doing here. I just, that like, I don't know what to do in terms of my eating. I'll go with the one or two routes. I'm like, well, depending on how serious this is, I have a dietitian who lives in Chicago that I refer to. She does a lot of online counseling. I refer to her. We have a lot of the same ideals. But if somebody just says like, hey, I'm having trouble getting vegetables in. Okay.
Yeah.
That might be something that we can talk about during a 30-minute appointment. But I, in my mind, like we're either, I'm either helping you with your physical training or I'm giving you some health coaching advice. I can't, it's hard to do both because you're not going to suck it in all the way. And I'm not going to give you everything you need and then tell you to stop and go to the next exercise.
Yeah.
So if we need to, sit down and have a 30-minute conversation about the different types of green vegetables that you can get in and, you know, what to pair them with and some ideas. Great. But I'm also not going to sit down and hand you a list of things and say for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and all your snacks in between, you need to be hitting all these macronutrients. I'm just not doing it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You did a great series, didn't you, whereby it was, I know it was on Instagram where I used to look at them. I don't know if you broadcast it elsewhere, but you did a thing where it wasn't a cookery lesson as such, but, you know, a fast-paced approach to how you could just use an array of vegetables and, you know, how to enhance the quality of your food. And you did that for quite a while, I think, and just to get a simple message across because people just take it for granted. And that was great. And absolutely, you weren't preaching to the converted. You weren't preaching what people should do. You were just trying to, you were simply given some very simplistic ideas how to eat good, nourishing food. There's no harm in that.
Right. Yeah, so this kind of brings us back to the whole social media thing because I stopped posting on social media for a very long time, just like what I want to talk about. It was my food prep is what you're talking about. Like every Sunday, my wife and I food prep for hours, a couple of hours. We make it, it's just part of our daily routine. We get up, we, you know, have our coffee and then we just start throwing things in the oven, chopping meat and vegetables up. And in a few hours, we have our entire week planned. We still do that. Just because it's not on Instagram doesn't mean we don't do it. You know what I mean? But I got to a point where I was spending, this is basically me. This is because I've had other people tell me, other professionals, like, hey, you should get back on there and start posting more things and yada, yada. I feel like all I can post about the things that I care about. And it's a lot of effort.
It is.
To get out there and post. And I just thought to myself, like, what value am I getting out of it versus giving into it? And I understand that I can post and not slide through things. I get that. But I feel like it almost goes hand in hand. And I just decided to stop, to put it all down. Whenever I release a podcast now, that's what I put up. And I even auto post that once a week on Fridays. I'll check messages to see if somebody sent me something. And if I don't see anything in the inbox, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. I just can't do it because I get on there. And then even if I delete things from people who are obviously who talk just out their ass and they want to start this conversation of negativity, because that's what a lot of posting is. I feel like they're just like, this is what I believe, this is right. And if you don't believe me, then F you. And then people just go and you get into the comments and it's just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I'm no different than anybody else. I go right into the stream and start feeding into it. And I don't want, not that I don't have the time. I'm not saying that. I'm no busier than anybody else, but I don't want to make the time.
Yeah.
I don't want to give any more. I'd rather just walk for 30 minutes on the treadmill, listen to a podcast rather than, you know what I mean? But
yeah, absolutely.
I can't give any more to it. I know you guys post a lot of good things. I know, you know, there's a lot of people that I follow that are still, you know, on the follow list that maybe in 6 to 8 months, I'll change my tune and get back in and see what's going on. And I know I'll jump into a lot of good people, a lot of good folks. But right now, I just feel like it's something I can't get into.
Yeah, we have tried to focus that. We try to focus on our culture. Again, with Brian and I having so for us the culture that we had in the old garage days when we were coaching people there, we had a very hard training culture that was developed through mentors of ours, and that was amalgamated with our dry sense of humor. And that comes from our professional life in law enforcement. That's where it comes from. So we do have this kind of dry, sarcastic wit, and we will, to be blunt, we will take the piss out of you. And people get it. They know it's harmless, and they get the bluntness of it. And to be fair, in our social media, that's what we try and get across. We try to have a little bit of fun with it. But ultimately, what we're trying to showcase is just sensible, safe, joint-friendly, but nonetheless very, very brutally hard training. Yeah. Utilizing very, very good medical state-of-the-art equipment. And I think that would be it. That's how I would sum up what we try and get across.
Well, I know when I was following, I mean, that's what I got from you guys. And just
our sense of humor can be brutal if you don't quite get it, if you haven't come across it before. And I certainly don't know how it translates across the great pond, but that's what we try and get across.
No, I think it's good. So today, it kind of reminds me of today that there was just, we've got admission 5 where I train clients. We've got a huge array of people, right? So we've got multiple trainers, female, male. One female, many male, but it, regardless, that's not where I'm going. So one of my clients who's relatively new kind of just started jabbing at Joel, the owner, just saying some stuff to him, just kind of chattering at him. And then my client, Mike, left, and Joel looks over at me and he's like, how new is he? Because I feel like we haven't had that conversation before. Like, he hasn't talked to me like that before. But like, it's part of the, like, that camaraderie and that thing. So I think that translates fine. You know, I think people understand it if they're in a certain kind of atmosphere. Like, it comes across as fine, especially the people you're working with. Like, who cares what somebody else thinks? Like, do you think that person would keep coming back if they actually meant, you know, if you were trying to offend them?
No. Yeah. No. Not at all.
But do you know what I'm saying about Instagram or Facebook or whatever? Like, more times than not, the things when people get on there and they get pissed off, that's when I'm starting to get pissed off just talking about it. But they get on there and they'll put up something that they know will get a giant reaction because it's not even against the grain. Cause I almost feel like going against the grain is a good thing. But it's just a reaction that they know that they'll get a bunch of comments on and a bunch of likes or whatever. And it's just bullshit. You don't really need to hear it. But the people who put out like really good quality information that comes across in a very sensible way, it a lot of times doesn't get the attention it deserves. Maybe I'm making that whole thing up. And it's just, you know, very few than what I saw.
No, I agree. I think a lot of people just try to be contrarian or antagonistic.
And that's a better word. Antagonistic. Yeah.
For the sake of it. Or they just want, as you say, they want to get a knee-jerk reaction of some sort. And we have had that. And I would have to say, Brian, in fairness, deals with them with humor far better than what I do. I kind of get frustrated too, and I can find it to be quite a negative experience, and I just kind of want to, you know, rip their throats out, to be honest. But you know, you can't do that. Apparently, it's illegal, and you know, get you into trouble.
So, it is over here. You can't do that over here.
It is over here too. But you know, all we're trying to do is educate on sensible practices in terms of training and why you can get more out of less. If you train harder, why you can get more out of less. And you always get some jackass who wants to make some criticism of some sort. And you know, that's when it gets frustrating, doesn't it? But I think by and large, we're kind of, our message is largely well received. And as you know, because you're part of the Inner Sanctum, we have a private group where anything goes, and
people with humor can see anything they wish. But then we have the public sites on social media, on Instagram and on Facebook, purely to showcase what we do, and why you can do things that little bit easier and better. But you always get those individuals who want to be antagonistic or want to tell you why what they do is better. And we've learned to get to that point where it's a case of, well, okay, jog on, do what you want. That's not what we do, and we do what we do, and this is why. We just try and leave it at that now.
Yeah, I think it's the troll mentality that gets me more than anything. Yeah. That's what it comes down to. Because you'll see those same people get on multiple pages and you're like, I get it. You just say the same stuff all of the time. Because you know
where do they get the time? Where do they find the time to just sit at a keyboard and be a keyboard warrior?
You know what? I don't know. I guess it's the same amount of time that anybody does who sits down and looks at Instagram. Yeah. Same time, I guess. I mean, I don't know if they put that much more thought or effort into it than you and I would. They're just saying dumb things.
Yeah. I just don't understand. I mean, you know, I browse them things. And I know at what point in my day or schedule I get to do it. But I think, Jesus, where do you get the time to make these comments? And sometimes, again, we have made the mistake of not trying to have a superior mentality about things, but if you see something that is genuinely god-awful, and you think you are... Because we, from a training perspective, we truly see it as physiotherapy. Again, I think we've discussed this at length before, but we do see strength training and physiotherapy as one and the same thing, especially if you have good tools to use. And not everyone does. Sometimes you need to find workarounds. But nonetheless, if you have good tools and you have good practitioners, physiotherapy and strength training, as far as we're concerned, are one and the same thing. So if you see something that someone is doing in a damaging way, then there are times when you can comment, but it's like they just take everything as an insult or don't tell me, and you think, well, hang on, it's hard not to get down the... We've learned to be quiet now in this regard, but I think when you are doing this daily as a profession and you are results-based and your clientele come to you for results and you are doing, in excess of hundreds of workouts a week and thousands of workouts a year, and you kind of, irrespective of whether you are an academic or not, or whether you've got data to support what you do or not, you're becoming a practitioner in your own field. And I would like to think that with a modicum of intelligence, you'll get to understand what actually works in the real world and what doesn't. And if you're trying to offer someone a little bit of gentle encouragement or advice and they don't take it on board, well, we've kind of learned to be quiet about it, shall we say.
Yeah, and eventually you just got to be like, all right, I do. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
You're out. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And it's either like you take my route where you just kind of go cold turkey, like, okay, I'm out of here. Sorry, I got to go. Or, and a lot of people will not criticize me, but they'll comment like, well, don't you use it for business? I say, no, I don't. I've never pulled a single client from Instagram. Or from social media. Now, whether or not someone who goes to my website, whether or not they get onto my Instagram and then it kind of reaffirms what my website says, that's different, I think that's where most of the confusion comes from, that we have to be a part of it to build our business. And I just don't think that's true.
And I agree. I think that locally, I think it's nice to be able to pick up the community that you're part of. Again, if it wasn't for social media, then... we wouldn't have become friends. We wouldn't have had the discussions that we had. So from that perspective, it's very positive. And there are like-minded individuals who I greatly respect and have had the opportunity to speak to and link in with, which is great. Opportunities that wouldn't have arose under any other circumstances. So that's great. That's very positive. But in terms of business, our sole arbiter for success has been word of mouth. There's absolutely no doubt about it. It's solely word of mouth.
Yeah. I think those people who, you know, you've got, you go, going back to Susie Q. Susie Q tells, you know, Billy Joe over here that I've been training and here's where I go. You should check them out. You know, maybe it's enough for that person to say, okay, you know, I trust you, so I'm going to go to the person you trust. But yeah, if they, you know, if they needed to jump on to see, you know, what you're posting or whatever else, like some of that stuff might not even be directed towards them. You know, it could maybe it doesn't come off the wrong way, or maybe it does come off the wrong way. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. Maybe they fall right into the fold with it. I don't know. But what I do know is that, and I'll just say this in a general term, if you're getting into the fitness industry and you think that your sole business is going to be through Instagram and through and in posting about whatever it is that you do or about you specifically, take that time and invest it in someplace else, because I just don't think it's worth it.
No, I fully agree with you.
Yeah. And again, I totally, while you were saying, you know, about us getting to know each other, and I'm thinking about all the other people that I've met through Fitness Candor. You know, hell, I've found most of those people through social media. So it's not like I'm here saying that this is, it's dumb, it should go away, I'll never use it. That's not what I'm saying. You know, it can be used to cultivate amazing things. I'm so glad I live in 2019. I don't want to do this in 1970. You know, like it, I get it. I get what I'm saying. It's a different beast, but there's some things you can leave, some things you can go into.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, man,
we got to
rant a little bit. But I actually do have to get going. I've got another appointment coming in 30 minutes. So I'm going to get in there and get prepared. But if people want to get a hold of you, they want to find out more about what you're about, where can they go to do that?
Social media.
of course. Right, yes, where else? Yes. Social media.
We still have not progressed to a website. We have not done that. We refuse to do that. The only thing that we have still right now is a public Facebook page. Okay. It works. And we have a Instagram page, again under the same title, It Works, and our email address is hitworksinfo@gmail.com if they want to send us an email, or just send us a message. But we're always happy to chat to anyone. We think we're quite positive and receptive in that way. Yep. So yeah, feel free.
Well, Peter, I appreciate this very much, and I do appreciate the link that we have through social media, and I hope this didn't come back to bite either one of us in the ass, all of the trash talking, and then...
I think it's been cathartic, don't you?
Yeah, I think it has. but anyway, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I hope people do reach out to you. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Great. Take care.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.